The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, number 85 for January 2nd, 2007.
Hey, Happy New Year, John. How are you?
Happy New Year, Dave. I got that right.
You
did. I almost stumbled there.
Did you? We are the Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave Hamilton. You are John Braun. And actually, he's John Braun. And you are you, all of you who have been listening to us for almost a year, more than a year and a half. It's crazy.
Amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. So we're done with the holiday stretch, and that means that we are careening toward Macworld Expo here. It's coming faster than certainly than I would like. If I could have like two more days between now and the time I had to leave for Macworld, that would be good. But
my inbox overfloweth with
yeah, it is a terrible time of year to have all these holidays. You know, I wish we could do all the holidays like maybe the 20th of January. If we could just put everything off a month, it'd be great. We'd do the expo, and then we could actually take a break for the holidays. It'd be nice.
Having Macworld so shortly after the year-end wrap-up there makes it challenging.
It's crazy. But I'm not going to complain.
With CES, right?
CES and Macworld sit right on top of each other. And that I will complain. I'm not going to complain about Macworld here because, you know, I enjoy my job and I'm very fortunate and all that. But I am going to complain about who in their right mind decided to lump these two shows on top of each other. Why do we think this is a good idea, especially now that Apple is so relevant at the CES show, right? I mean, it's... Somebody's got to get their stuff straight because that's a little crazy.
It's a nightmare for us to cover, and it's a nightmare for the vendors.
Yeah.
What do they cover?
We got to have double staff because we got to send people to CES and to Macworld at the same time. Sucks. But
okay,
in any event.
But on to happier topics.
So, next week at Macworld, I've been lying to you all, like, for the last 2 months. I've been telling you that I'm doing this Windows on a Mac thing, and I'm doing it on Tuesday at 1:30. It's not. It's on Wednesday at 1:15, and that's been locked in. No questions about this. I just got very, very confused and had Jeff Gamet not asked me for a list of all of my presentations that I'm doing at Macworld, I would never have noticed it, and I would have shown up Tuesday to do my presentation. So It is Wednesday, but it's a Windows on a Mac thing, and as promised, we're going to go through some of that here today. We'll talk about it. John will provide his counterpoint and commentary and perhaps shed some light on some things that I might have missed. And then we'll spend 10 or 15 minutes on that, and then we'll dive right into your questions. And we've got some of your predictions here and actually potentially a geek challenge, which might be very, very cool. Yeah. So that's where we're at. So John, this Windows on a Mac thing, right? We're talking about Windows on Intel-based Macs. We're not talking about virtual PC, which was actually emulation, right? And that's an important thing to talk about, right? When you're running Windows on an Intel-based Mac, there's no emulation happening. In fact, as we've said on this show before, there's less emulation happening when you're running Windows versus when you're actually running the Mac OS, because there's still stuff happening in Rosetta that is being emulated in Mac OS X.
Yeah, I guess I'd say it depends on how you define emulation. But you pointed out a good thing, is that at one very basic and time-consuming level, emulation, you know, like virtual PC, as you pointed out, is making one processor look like another.
Right.
And for those who know software and processors and stuff, that's hard.
That's inefficient.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Inefficient and difficult to do properly.
That's right.
So for the people like Virtual PC, you know, the folks that did that, I mean, you know, hats off to you. That's a tough job. But the problem is just doing all that work, even with the fastest processors, is slower than going to the native processor that the OS was written in to begin with, which I think is, you know, why this is a timely topic for Dave to cover.
Yep.
Is you eliminate what I would say is probably the most time-consuming and resource-intensive part of it, which is how to convert Intel to Motorola or IBM PowerPC, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
that takes a lot of work, and it kills you. I mean, I've used virtual PC. You have, and it works.
Yeah, it's functional.
But it's like,
yeah, it's worse than running usable. Photoshop on a MacBook Pro. Seriously.
Oh.
Much worse. So, and that's of course.
So now you have this new age where Apple came to their senses, or you know, decided to pick the best option.
Yep.
Of who would run on portables with a modern processor, and said, Intel, here you go. And I still remember, you know, it gave me pleasure to learn that in the back rooms of Apple, they were actually doing this. Which
yeah,
I think you heard
that's
about
right.
this. They
oh,
were
yeah.
run, they were doing everything because Next Step was an Intel operating system. They were, you know,
they never gave that up.
Things for multiple OSs.
Yep.
Just in case, because, you know, when that moment came where they said, you know, PowerPC, bye-bye. And they were like, oh, what are you going to do? Rewrite your software? And they're like,
nope.
We already have.
Yep.
Bye.
Gotta go.
That moment must have been beautiful.
Yeah, although, you know, I talked to a bunch of IBM folks after that announcement, and they all said, you know, it's really not that big of a deal to us because we'd sort of kind of focused on the gaming and you know, the console and the embedded systems thing anyway. This isn't really a huge loss to us. PR-wise, it's a huge thing because Apple is, you know, the press's golden boy. But otherwise, they said it, you know, it really won't affect the bottom line, and it hasn't. So, you know,
well, even
kudos
Intel,
to everybody.
Though
yeah.
Intel has gotten quite hip, especially with some of the, have you seen some of these dual core commercials?
That's right.
Their commercials are actually somewhat interesting.
They're hip now.
Whereas before, it was like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, okay, whatever. So
the options, and there's four of them that we'll talk about. One is, of course, Apple's Boot Camp, and then there's Parallels, and then Crossover, and then a new product, which is really an old product, called VMware. Like we said, they've all got one thing in common. They run the same chip that your Mac has in it. So it's not emulation. It's just translation of various things to make the software think it's running on one operating system versus another.
Which I think we'd probably call virtualization.
Virtualization. Yep. I think that's a fantastic term. With three out of four of these, so all but one of them, you still have to buy a copy of Windows. You're running Windows on your Mac and then running applications inside that. So with Boot Camp is what I would consider the most native solution here, because really all Boot Camp is two things. One, it's a addendum, if you will, to the bootloader for the Mac that allows it to boot Windows as opposed to the Mac. It essentially emulates BIOS as opposed to, and I can't remember what it's called on the SMC, right? SMC, is that what it is? I think it's SMC. But it emulates the BIOS of a Windows machine so that Windows says, oh yeah, I can hook onto this and boot up. Once it boots up, your Mac is just a Windows machine, not unlike any other Windows box out there. And I'll add to that saying, not unlike any other Windows laptop out there. Every Windows laptop has proprietary, and if not proprietary, it has its own set of hardware that's built into it. So you need drivers to run the video card that's embedded into the laptop, the networking card that's embedded, et cetera, et cetera. And the other half of Boot Camp is all of those drivers bundled nicely together for you. Again, not unlike what you'd get from Dell on the, you know, hardware support CD. You get all the drivers that you need. It's exactly the same thing. So, you know, the Dell machine, of course, presumably comes with Windows pre-installed and all those drivers pre-installed. Apple's machines, of course, don't. So you've got to go through the process of installing this. But Boot Camp makes it very, very easy to do this too. It's extremely compatible because, again, you're running Windows. The couple of weird things, the one that jumps to mind, of course, is that the Mac, at least the laptops built in, don't have a second mouse button. So that's kind of the first thing that everybody noticed when they ran Boot Camp was like, well, wait a minute, you know, how do I do the right mouse? And at first there was some software to do it, some third-party software, and now I think it's being handled a little more internally. But really what you need is a two-button mouse to make Windows happy. But
I think for a while OS X would support multi-button mice.
It still does.
To purchase one.
Yeah, but that's it. You need to purchase one. That's right. Yeah. So, but it's very compatible. It runs pretty much everything, and there's no There's no slowing down of the machine because it's a Mac. The Mac OS is not running when boot camp's running. And it's just a Windows machine once it's up. The OS has no idea. The machine really at that point has no idea that anything is running other than Windows because nothing is. And for all of you who say Windows sucks, well, your MacBook sucks when you run Windows on it. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. It is what it is. So,
Windows doesn't suck at everything. Come on.
No, and you know, let's give it some defense here. And I know I'll get some flack for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here's why Windows sucks, right? Take Apple. They make the MacBook Pro, right? Let's just take this one path for the example. Very, you know, put the blinders on. They make the MacBook Pro. They know exactly what's inside it, right? They also are the company that makes OS X, right? So they know how to bridge the gap from hardware-wise MacBook Pro to software OS X. And they do it 110%, right? There's nothing missing. You never heard anybody say, oh, you know, I like this MacBook Pro, but it'd be great once OS X supports the full size of my monitor. That's ridiculous, right? No one would ever say that. That's almost hard to imagine. Enter the laptops, right? All these people that tried to take Windows and put it on these Macs before Boot Camp came out, that's exactly what they were saying. Well, it's cool, but it would be nice if I had the video driver written to support Windows, you know, fully on this machine. Dell deals with the same thing, right? Dell is building the hardware. Microsoft writes the OS. And there's this huge gap that has to be bridged. Now, it's in Microsoft and Dell's best interest to work together, and they do, to make sure that all of this works. But remember, Microsoft's not just working with Dell. They need to build Windows to work with everything, including now the Mac. So there's all these vendors. And Dell probably uses video cards from four different vendors, right? And some of those video cards might also be used by Toshiba. But the Toshiba, although it might use the same video card as one of the Dells, doesn't necessarily use the same network card as the Dell. Mm-hmm. So you've got all this stuff that could potentially conflict with each other. And Microsoft doesn't have the ability to test all of that in their labs like Apple does, simply because of this separation.
Now, the vendors I will give, and I have to because I've done this at the 9 to 5, is that Dell does a very good job through their website, where if you register and they have something, I believe it's called a service tag number, they know, and you've gone through probably through this too, but if you decide to wipe your machine and reinstall, which I do at work because you know I don't
you have
the garbage that they usually heap on there.
Right.
But they have a page where you can go to. It's tedious, but you can go to a page saying, okay, here are all the drivers for my computer.
Right.
You can download them, and you will install Windows. And you know, installing Windows with the default drivers is better than nothing.
Yeah, but you won't be able to get on
you
won't get on the internet. You won't get you know, full screen video. Your third party mouse won't work. Right, none of that stuff. You've got to go through and install all this stuff.
Yeah. So I want to mention that, you know, I give Dell credit because they do have a mechanism, at least for enterprise customers, where you can go and download all the drivers and start from scratch.
Yep.
Fortunately, as you pointed out, Boot Camp, they do that for you.
Yep.
Otherwise, your Windows experience on the Mac would be pretty unpleasant.
Yeah, and that's the Apple part of it. And that's not to say that other vendors haven't done it. Of course, they have. But Apple has tried to manage this process as smoothly as possible. And one of the cool things they did was they took advantage of something that they built into Tiger called live repartitioning. So let's say you've got a 100 gig drive on your MacBook Pro, and then you decide, I want to put Windows on here. Well, Windows needs its own partition. Presumably, you've got one partition of 100 gigs. Now, you may only be using 80 of that. Well, Tiger...
But wait.
That's right. Tiger,
partitioning destroys everything.
Yeah, well, not this partitioning. This actually moves stuff out of the way and carves out whatever size partition you tell it to, assuming there's enough free space, and splits up your drive without destroying any of your data. Now, you know, that's all fine and good. I backed up my machine before letting it do this. It worked fine, but, you know, let the buyer beware, right? So the cool thing is, once that's done, when you're booted into the Mac OS, you see this second partition, this Windows partition that's been created, and you can copy files to and from it. So if you've got some Word documents or, you know, PowerPoint or something that you've been working on the Windows side, you can copy that over or simply edit it right on the Windows partition. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty much it for Boot Camp. There's not a whole lot to talk about with it, again, because boot camp is nothing more than turning your Mac into a Windows machine. Once it's there, it's there. There's nothing special that goes on. It just runs. Enter Parallels. Now, for those of you, I know John and I, we talked about it. For those of you that use Virtual PC, Parallels is the most like that. It's an experience like that. You get a window, you install Windows into this application, and you can run full screen if you want, or you can run in a Mac window and then just have Windows simply running there. And you've probably all seen screenshots of this, and if you haven't, go ahead to I think it's parallels.com, if I'm not mistaken, and you're there. You don't need to reboot your Mac. You don't need to shut down any of your Mac apps, assuming you have enough RAM, and you're just running Windows. This is a lot more work for the developer than boot camp is, because they've got to deal with all this stuff that's happening simultaneously to OS X. So not only do they need to trick Windows into thinking it's running on a separate machine, but they need to make sure that whatever it's doing plays nice with OS X. And then there's things that us users want, like being able to drag our mouse from the Windows environment outside of the window to the Mac environment and just have that happen seamlessly. That mm-hmm. none of that is easy to do, right? Have your hardware work for 3D games. You want to deal with your USB appliances. You want to be able to burn CDs and DVDs. You want to talk to FireWire, all that stuff. It works in Parallels now. In fact, DVD burning or CD burning is a new feature. I think it came out, a week ago. But it does work. And the way they do it is Parallels has something called Parallels Tools, which once you get Windows installed, you then use Parallels to install this add-on to Windows, which is all these other drivers that teach Windows or allow Windows to have these hooks. And you can even now drag files from your Mac desktop to your Windows desktop and back and forth. It'll copy in and out, which is pretty cool.
Nice. That's very similar to a Virtual PC offering a lot of that.
Yep.
If you installed the extra goodies,
right,
then you could cross environments, which is, pointed out, always a challenge that somebody has to write the software to learn how to talk between the two, because normally they don't know the other exists.
That's right. Now, one cool thing that Parallels has made a lot easier in the new releases that have come out is Parallels now uses your boot camp partition, or can use your boot camp partition. So you can install Windows once, and if you just need to run something in Parallels and you're happy with that performance there, you can boot to your boot camp partition and do everything you want and have all your applications there. Or if you want to run Windows without anything, you just boot up to boot camp and it's the same partition, same application, same everything. Parallels does some tricks to make this happen, because Windows freaks out when, with the whole license, the way Windows licensing works, if it sees that significant changes have happened to the installation, it'll force you to relicense Windows. Mm-hmm. And initially you had to relicense Windows every time you went back and forth between boot camp and Parallels. They've fixed that. They've actually created a dual boot now that's automatically chosen at startup, depending on whether you're doing a dual boot for Windows. This is so it's automatically chosen depending on which environment you're going to use it in. And you have to go ahead and authorize or authenticate Windows once in Parallels. And then after that, it's totally activated on both sides of the coin, which is cool. Very cool. One of the other cool things that Parallels does is it lets you do what's called video rescaling. So let's say you've got a little Mac window and you've got Parallels running inside it. And then you say, well, I want to run, I've got some big graphic or big image on the page. I want to see that in full size. You can actually drag the window bigger and Windows automatically rescales live. You don't have to reboot or anything. It's just boom, right there, which is pretty cool. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Now, what if you're running apps in Windows and Mac OS, so does it do anything to make that a little nicer?
It'll do clip. It'll share the clipboard back and forth between them. Is that what you mean?
Well, no, I was wondering, like, more when you cycle through applications, you're kind of. I think Virtual PC did this. It would let you in the Mac environment see the what's running on the PC side.
It does.
So
yeah.
It kind of brought it together.
And Parallels actually takes this a step further. What what John's talking about is with virtual PC, you'd start to get icons in your desktop or in your dock rather for the running Windows apps. And that now happens with Parallels. You start to see icons, and if you click on an icon in your dock, it will bring up Parallels and bring that application to the front. Parallels has taken this one step further and introduced something called Coherence Mode, which allows you to basically take the Windows desktop and, if you choose, the taskbar and totally hide them. So your Windows apps then just float in and amongst your Mac apps. And it's actually pretty cool. Again, you still need to have you need to buy a copy of Windows and have Windows running in order to do this. But once you get it there, you can make the stuff go away. It's quirky. And they've released beta 2, you know, and then within less than a week, they released beta 3. So and that keeps fixing these weirdness things that are just inherent in this coherence mode. It's cool. Like, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, well, you know what to do. You just go back to the full deal. So, but the cool thing is Parallels is very compatible with Windows games, Windows everything, games being one of them. But there's few apps that won't run in Parallels. In fact, I don't know that I've found any. But, you know, because it's running Windows, so the trick is kind of outside of the box. The apps don't know what's happening. They just tell Windows, well, here I am, and Windows, yeah, cool, no problem. Windows doesn't even
and
know
like
what's happening.
And like the networking, you know, because I know that's an issue a lot of times. So you're a Windows network citizen.
You are a Windows, you're a Windows network citizen, and it works just fine. So
good. Yep. So Parallels.
Parallels.
From what I've seen, that's the leader right now, I think, in the virtualization.
It is.
There's an up-and-coming player, I do believe.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. There's VMware, right? And they've got a product.
Which on the Intel side, for a lot of my PC coworkers, VMware, especially the Linux crowd, they really like this.
They do.
You can do, you know, because it's, of course, an Intel, you know, or sometimes AMD. I don't know if it works in AMD.
It does.
But anyways, you can run, multiple Intel OSs. So it surprised a lot of people. They were like, okay, where's VMware?
Right.
I mean, they do the Intel thing, and Mac is now Intel. So
they're
what's up, guys?
They're
they've
here
been talking
now.
About it for a while.
Yeah, they're here now.
I think they just posted a...
the public beta.
Non-invite public beta, I think.
That's
before
right.
They had one where you had to sign up by email. And
and it was tough to get into. I couldn't even get into that one. So that was tough.
You?
I know.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, if you...
Yeah. Well, I think they didn't want me to see it before it was, you know, ready for public consumption. I can't blame them for that.
Well, and you had the word macobserver.com in your email address.
Well, yeah, so they knew who I was. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, it counts against you.
No, I can understand how they want to be careful about rolling something like this out.
Absolutely. So,
because they have a pretty good reputation. They don't want to, you know, come up with a bomb.
That's
a
right.
A bad bomb.
That's right. So they... And the whole reason that it took them as long as it did was they wanted to write a fully Cocoa app. They wanted it to be very Mac-like. They wanted it to support a lot of stuff out of the gate. Now, Parallels, up until the current version, or the, you know, beta 2, which is only, you know, what, a week, maybe a week and a half old, up until that, Parallels didn't support USB 2. Parallels didn't support disk burning. Parallels, I don't believe, supported FireWire, right? VMware, upon its release, supported all three of those. It also supports, and this is configurable, you can choose whether or not you want to run one processor for the Intel side, or, you know, one core, rather, for the Intel side and one core for the Mac side, or you can tell it to run two cores for the Intel side. You can't do that with Parallels. Parallels, you are fixed on one processor on either side. Or one core on either side, and Windows will not see it as two cores. It will not see that you're on a dual core machine. Boot camp, of course, Windows does see that you're on a dual core machine. Just to be clear, so that's one of the things about VMware. They've been around eight years. They also have full 64-bit support, which I don't believe anyone else has, and they do have a VMware tools add-on. Similar to the Parallel tools, similar to the virtual PC add-on that allows you to do more integration with the Mac OS. This will actually, VMware actually, they say it'll support the iSight, which Parallels will not. And it'll also support Apple's IR controller. So what I was thinking of doing, and I don't believe I'm going to do it for my thing next Wednesday, is I was actually going to take my presentation and run it in VMware with the Apple remote, you know, remote control clicker, and use PowerPoint to deliver my presentation. And then at the end say, haha, I did it in Windows. But
yeah, not with something that's beta.
Exactly. Because I still haven't been able to get Windows XP Home Edition to install without hitting a blue screen on VMware. Now, I've talked to them about this, and they tell me this is very strange. They think there might be something wrong with my CD. Again, the one that I've used to install on, you know, multiple machines here. But who knows? Something could have happened. I need to make an image of it and try it that way. But that's, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, you know, I'll stick with Keynote. Thank you very much. One cool thing that VMware does, and this is something that they've been doing for a very long time, is they have what they call virtual appliances. Do you know what these are, John? Are you aware of this stuff?
No.
Okay. The idea is, let's say you're a software vendor, and a software vendor who wants to distribute something that would normally be sort of a convoluted install, say Oracle or Red Hat Linux or Ubuntu Linux or MySQL, or a full MySQL server, and you want it configured exactly right, you know, and you're running on some Linux distribution or whatever, and you want Apache and PHP, and you want it all the same. Well, these virtual appliances are available, and you can download them and install them, and it's all a prepackaged thing. You just download it, install the image, and start it up, and you're running. You don't actually have to install any software. It runs inside this virtual machine. Now, they've been doing this on the Intel side, so running a virtual version of even Windows inside Windows so that you can do some testing. Great opportunity for Windows developers to deliver turnkey solutions for the Mac, right? Let's say you've got somebody that wants to run Microsoft Project, but they don't want to go through the process of installing Windows and then, you know, installing Project and making sure it works. You could do all the work for them, create a virtual appliance and post it, and boom, you're good to go. And I think they've got like 300 of these already available because they've been doing it for years and years and years. All of these virtual appliances work on the Mac because it's just the way it goes. So, if you wanted to experiment, say you wanted to experiment with Linux, you want to see what Fedora Linux is like to run, but you don't want to spend the time to install and configure, just download a virtual appliance. Bam, you're good to go. Free. No problem. There's some that are for pay. Obviously, if you want to install Oracle, they'll probably want some cash, but it's actually a pretty cool concept.
Oh, okay. Actually, I've worked with this under a different name, but actually today I was futzing around with something called OLPC. Some MIT folks have come up with this thing, One Laptop Per Child Initiative, and they came up with a very low-cost piece of hardware, which I think you may have heard of. Or if not, but they're proposing a new machine. But the cool part is they have something called VMware Player that lets you run a version of this, which is actually a little Linux box.
Right.
And all they offer is a disk image, and you load that up. So I think that's the same technology where I didn't want to think about how to set up Linux.
That's right. Yeah, you don't.
I just wanted to load the image, and I was running it on my Windows XP machine, but it was running whatever this OLPC platform is, and all you did was go to a website, download the environment, I guess you would call it, and load it into the VMware Player, which I guess is a very limited version of the their software.
Right.
And it was like, yeah. So I think it's the same thing, but it's a nice thing to do to, you know, just switch into another OS without having to worry about the nitty-gritty of setting up the network.
Of actually getting there.
Stuff.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the beautiful thing is, no matter what type of hardware you're running it on, again, back to that conversation about all these different drivers and everything, it doesn't matter because all this stuff is written for the VMware environment, which is a fixed set of drivers. It is one video driver, one, you know, network driver, et cetera, et cetera. And it all just works. So now the one thing I kept asking these folks while I was talking to them about, you know, all these solutions is, okay, well, you've virtualized every version of Windows and Linux and all of this stuff. Well, there's one operating system that runs on Intel that we haven't talked about here, and and would be great. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to run a version of Mac OS X virtualized, right? So if you wanted to test stuff out, but you wanted to have it in a sandbox, boom, right there. And they all say, oh, yeah, it's totally possible. We could probably do it in the lab, but Apple's licensing does not allow it to happen. OS X will only run on the Mac directly. It will not run in any of these environments. And and they say, look, you know, all these companies have said we have no interest in ruffling Apple's feathers. We're not heading down this path. You know, it's not going to happen unless Apple gives them the blessing to do so. Once Apple does that, though, however, it opens the door for people running, say, a Dell machine or a Toshiba machine to run OS X. And thus far, Apple hasn't done anything like that. They haven't opened that door.
Or the El Cheapo special that you pick up for.
That's right. Now, they're
under $100 or wherever. And yeah, I can understand how Apple would want to protect their. Because I think right now, as far as I know, OS X does various little checks here and there to make sure it's running on.
That's right.
On Apple hardware.
That's right.
So even if you had a Intel machine and Apple's running on Intel, it at some point is going to come to a grinding halt saying, hey, I'm not running on a Mac. Sorry, dude.
Yep.
Be nice if they change that.
Yeah, well.
And maybe they will. I mean,
who knows?
You know, if they, I mean, they've always treaded kind of lightly in the enterprise space from what I've noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Xserve and X-Raid and some enterprise stuff that from, you know, what I've seen with hands-on is very, very nice enterprise stuff, but it's just such a teeny little part of their market. I don't know if it's going to be on their radar.
Yep.
You know, for the people who want to do this sort of thing.
Yep. Hmm. Yep. So who knows, but currently, no, there's no way to do that. So, okay, so that's three solutions that all require you to use Windows. Then comes in Crossover. Crossover is a pretty cool little thing. The idea behind it is that it's rootless. It doesn't require Windows. You're just running the apps. And it uses a piece of software called Wine, which has been available on Windows, available on the Linux side for a very long time. And Wine is one of those funny little names that actually says Wine is not an emulator because it doesn't. It doesn't emulate. it's what self-referential acronym, I think. Mm-hmm. But or recursive, right? Recursive? Yeah, because it's constantly. Yeah. Anyway, so the cool thing is you don't have to give any money to Microsoft, right? Unless, of course, you want to run Outlook, which is one of the huge things that Crossover is used for. If you're in a corporate environment and everybody uses Outlook for calendaring and email and contacts and it's hooked up to the Exchange server and that, and you absolutely need to run Outlook. You can't make do with anything else on the Mac. Well, run Crossover because it treats it pretty much like it's any other Mac app. The thing is, not every app is going to work with Crossover. Outlook does. There's many others that do. And if they do, man, you are golden. You don't have to buy Windows. You don't have to do anything. You just install and run away. But of course, when it doesn't work, you know it right away. So, you know, the apps just live in the dock. You get native speeds. You get cut and paste. You don't need to create a hard drive partition. You don't need RAM. You know, my feeling is if you have to run a Windows app for a specific purpose, try Crossover first. If it works for you, you're done. If not, then you move on to Parallels or VMware or Bootcamp if you've got to go that far. So
Crossover, it sounds like they're working at a higher level and that they're trying to intercept Windows calls of whatever sort and try to map them to a Mac call.
Although
you asked me to draw a window.
I want it.
Let me see if I can translate this. So if it's a relatively straightforward OS type of thing, give me more memory, give me more disk, whatever, and there's a, you know, somebody didn't do something proprietary on the Windows side, it should be able to find a match for something on the Apple side. What I would imagine is software that does, you know, sneaky little copy protection things or just decides, well, we're going to do our own VM scheme.
Right.
Or things like that. Things that get intimate with the hardware, I would suspect, would not work well. But things like, I would imagine, Word, Excel, the things that are pretty, you know, straightforward, Microsoft compatible applications would work okay. Okay,
that's
cool.
That's absolutely right. And to correct, to clarify, you're absolutely right. It takes the Windows calls and intercepts them, and it doesn't actually translate them into Mac calls. It translates them into X11 calls. And then it's running an X11 environment on the Mac. But it's very smooth. If you didn't know that that's what was happening, you probably wouldn't notice that that's what was happening. But to get technically correct, that's what's going on. And that makes it easy for them to do it on the with this, because it's always been doing X11 from day one.
So, yeah, which is very mature.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, benchmarks aren't my thing, but I did want to talk about the results. I've got some gaming benchmarks that I'm working on and probably will have at the show next week. But, you know, my feeling is anybody that's doing this isn't looking for, you know, top performance. That being said, remember, everything is native, so it's all very, very snappy. I've been running Parallels in a window amongst all my other Mac stuff, and nothing slows down. Everything's fine. Once you install the Parallel tools and it knows what OS you're running, it doesn't use the processor 100% of the time. It doesn't just say, well, here's half the processor, I'm going to give that to Windows, and whatever it wants to do with it, even if it's nothing, I'm still going to eat half your, you know, half your CPU. Yeah. That's not what's happening. It's all dynamic. If your Mac needs more, it will give it more. If Windows needs more, it will give it more up to that half of, you know, that half of your processor, or one core, and then it stops. So if you've got a single core machine, then that's what it's doing. It's going to eat it all. But so the nice part is, if Windows starts to run out of control on you, you've still got half of your processor left to do whatever you need to on your Mac, which, you know, can also include a force quit of Parallels, and down it goes. So,
yeah, I'd imagine, though, that especially games, I think, would probably be one of the apps that are typically written to a certain API, like DirectX or, you know, whatever you have. That's probably not something you want to play on any of these, because they're expecting something that's pretty intimate with the graphic hardware, and I don't think you're going to get that level of sophistication. Have you tried gaming?
Yeah, and you know what? Most games run really well. In fact, there's a lot of games that run really well in crossover. It's not what you would think. If you've got a game that you want to run, go ahead and try it, because you may be very, very pleasantly surprised. AutoCAD doesn't work in crossover yet, so that you've got to go with, you know, either a virtualization solution or boot camp. MS Project will work in crossover, or it'll, you know, work in any of the other three. So that's
nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they did their did a lot of work on the graphics subsystem.
Yeah. Well, so remember,
it's
all
not that bad.
It's all the same. It's just translating it through and finding the fastest way to translate it through, right? You know, with the gaming stuff, like you said, if it's DirectX or whatever, that's going to make once the app makes a call to DirectX, DirectX makes a call to the hardware, right? It bypasses everything else. So the trick is letting DirectX do that. It's all the same hardware, right? We've got OpenGL on both sides. We've got all this stuff. It's all the same chips. So these guys are figuring out how to, you know, kind of pave the path and let that happen. And they're doing it. So,
And actually, you know, I spoke to, you know, at the last Macworld, actually, you know, some of the graphic guys, they were like, you know, it's good they're going to Intel, because that's less of a difference that we have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sounds like, you know, they also may have to do less work on differentiating, you know, a Mac video card versus a PC. So that could be good for the guys writing the, you know, the sort of software, is that they don't have to do something different to talk to the graphic hardware. So yeah, as you pointed out, I still need a, Santa didn't bring me an Intel Mac.
No, I guess not. No.
Well, maybe it's waiting for me at Macworld.
Maybe it is. the one last thing I want to mention is, if you are running anything but crossover, and this is a big feather that crossover puts in their cap, you need virus protection software if you're running Windows. Again, crossover doesn't run Windows, so you're exempt there. But otherwise, man, you have to run virus protection software on the Windows side. You can't skip that.
It's Windows.
It's Windows, yeah. So there's Norton. My favorite has always been Norton Antivirus. You know, the idea behind...
Really?
Yeah, the idea
on
behind...
On the Windows side.
Yeah, on the Windows side, yeah. The idea behind virus protection software is that it's going to get in your way, right? You want it to. It's got to look at everything that's happening and decide whether or not this thing is a virus or not. In my experience, you know, with all the clients that I've dealt with over the years, I've found Norton to be the thing that gets in your way without getting in your way best. It's not perfect, but nothing could be perfect. McAfee, in my experience, gets in your way. Don't get internet security. Just get Norton Antivirus. The internet security thing will drive you to drink. So just get antivirus. You can also get McAfee. They're both, you know, as far as catching viruses and commercial products, they're good. And if you want something free, you can get AVG for free, which is also very good. It's from free.grisoft, G-R-I-S-O-F-T.
AVG?
Yeah, AVG. Apple, oh. Apple Victor Gordo. Oh. Gecko.
Have you tried Clam? Clam is the good...
Can you get Clam for Windows now? We run Clam on all sure. the, on our mail server, on all the mail that comes in the TMO. Okay.
Yeah, I run a Mac on Windows. Yeah, okay. Clam AV, I think it's called. Or,
yeah, Clam AV.
Clam is a good good open source product.
There you go. So I didn't realize you could run Clam, and I've never run it as a GUI client. So.
Yeah. Now, I got to say the antivirus stuff is that we actually use the... McAfee product, but the nice thing about it is that it has a EPO enterprise provision. But anyways, it's especially nice, and that's why I think we use it.
Yep,
is that they can push things out and tell it to do things. Mm-hmm. So from an enterprise point of view, that's I think a good product when you're managing thousands of machines.
Absolutely, but, absolutely, yeah.
But for individual use, and actually even for individual use, it's I don't know.
Fine.
Norton kind of annoyed me. On the Mac side, because they fell behind on the on the OS updates. Like all of a sudden,
big
it
time.
Broke.
Yeah, all of a sudden it broke. That's right. Yeah,
that gets me cranky.
Yeah, no, they screwed up on the Mac, but everybody has their own preference on this. I tend to like Norton better than anything else. So there you go. This took way, way more time than I expected it to, and that's good. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about all this stuff, but we're going to...
Talking about Windows?
I know, isn't that something? We're going to...
I thought this was the Mac Geek Gap.
Yeah, well, you know...
Not
you
the Windows Geek Gap.
I have this fear of getting lynched next week at Macworld Expo.
It's a new age in emulation. I think it's actually great. I mean, Virtual PC, I got to say, was... it was just... It could have been a contender, but it was just battling, it was just trying to do too much.
Well, yeah, right.
I've seen it, man.
It was a losing battle.
I think now, and it's a good thing that Apple is kind of doing this stealth thing.
Yeah.
Like to my friend, I'm going to say hi to my friend Tom, who is one of my coworkers who just got a Mac, and I think he's going to lean over to the Mac side and also do his do the Windows stuff and virtualization.
Yep.
Which
everybody that
this episode will provide him
there you
everything
go.
He needs. There are more options than ever.
I talk to a lot of switchers or potential switchers or pre-switchers, I'll call them, and they all say, I'm gonna get a MacBook Pro and I'm gonna install Windows on it with Boot Camp. And I say to all of them, well, you probably do Parallels or whatever, and they're like, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I just want to run Windows in Boot Camp, and then I can switch over to the Mac OS when I want. And then about 3 months in, I always check in with them and say, okay, where are you? And some of you are listeners here, right? I mean, and we've been through this, and I would say more than 3/4 of you all say, yeah, you know what? I most of the time now I just run the Mac OS and I run the Windows stuff I need in Parallels or Crossover or whatever. But, Boot Camp is this... Because it's from Apple and because it doesn't have the Mac OS running, it's this path to running Windows on this machine that gets all this stuff that you're afraid of out of the way. And then you get it and realize, like you said, it's this stealth thing. Well, the Mac OS is nothing to fear. It actually does a lot of stuff really well. And then this stuff I need in Windows. There we go. So,
but Bootcamp is also, it's kind of caveman. It's like you're living in this isolated Windows
that's
world.
Right.
Why not share?
Why not share? Exactly.
Like with some of the other products, which that's the cool, even back in Virtual PC, being able to cut and paste between the two, it just opens up.
Huge.
It makes it all the easier for you to be able to bop between the two environments. So, so running side by side, I think, is, but some people figure that out. They're like, maybe I should try that.
Yeah, exactly. So try it. If you are one of those people, if you're one of the 1/4 as opposed to 3/4, try it and give yourself a week with it and see what you think. So we're gonna skip.
I've had
stuff
it with this podcast.
I have too, but
I'm not gonna do. We'll do it next week.
Yeah, we'll do it at Macworld next week.
We just don't do it from here.
We won't do it from here, but we do need to get these predictions in. There were a couple of you that's, and you know who you are, so we're just going to run through the list. So we've got predictions for the following: an 8-core Mac Pro machine, right? Yeah, well, it could happen. I don't think it'll happen next week.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's there. Right.
Maybe too new.
I think so, yeah. New EyeSight embedded displays. So this would be cinema displays with the EyeSight embedded into it, like the iMac
reasonable.
Or the MacBook Pro. I think that'll happen. I would agree with that. The Beatles music on iTunes could happen.
Oh, well, they settled their little little spat there, right?
Yeah. It'd be foolish for both of them not to do it, right? I mean, let's face it.
There's money to be made here.
For everybody, that's right.
For all the fans, you know, shuffle off this mortal coil. I mean, come on.
So we've got two sets of predictions surrounding Leopard. One is that we will see an enhanced demo. I think that's pretty much a given. Will we see a Leopard release? I'd be very surprised.
We may see it's going to be released. We've seen this before.
Yes.
It's going to be released in 2 or 3 months from now.
Right.
For this amount of money.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
order now.
That's right. Yeah, buy now, pay later. iWork07 with a spreadsheet app. I think that could happen.
Maybe called Numbers because they've trademarked the
They have.
Word Numbers.
Yeah. And then the two that I would consider on the fringe, but who knows, Al, the guy who suggested that the Beatles, he was one of the people that suggested the Beatles music maybe on iTunes. He also suggested that perhaps Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth will be available for sale on the iTunes store. So that's one. The other is a thin MacBook with a 12-inch 16:9 screen. I don't know.
You know, I still like, even though it gets doggier by the day, I still like my PowerBook G4. 12-inch. It's such a pleasure to travel.
Yep.
With. So I would like to see the MacBook is pretty darn close. So.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So that
it's
one, I don't know.
I don't know.
If a 12-inch would really fit in there. But a 16:9 screen, because you and I are all about HD, man. And
that's right.
All that stuff now, right?
Absolutely. All right. So,
send
more.
You're flying out.
I'm flying. Let's see. I'm flying out Friday. Actually, I'll be getting in very late Friday night. You fly in what, Sunday or Monday?
Monday. Yeah.
Okay. So
the keynote's Tuesday.
Tuesday. What time do you get in on Monday?
1 o'clock, I think.
Okay, so we may have the opportunity to do a quick little pre-show thing on Monday night.
So if you're listening, you want to get some pre-show
predictions,
whatever in.
Yep.
Send it off. Where can they send that, Dave?
MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com, 206-666-GEEK, which is 43355.
3-3-5.
Right. And Skype it to MacGeekGab, but honestly, don't do that. I'm only going to check the other two between now and the end of the expo. So if you want to Skype it in, I'm sorry. I got to kind of draw the line somewhere. So that's it. We'll catch you from the show next week. We'll probably do, if we can get it in, we'll do one before the show starts on Monday night, and then two, maybe Thursday or something toward the end of the week, we'll do sort of a wrap up our favorite products that we saw, and you know, like we've always done. So that's it. We're out of here. Cashfly Hosting, where you downloaded this from, Podcast Marketplace, the 6i Isolator earphones from Metamodic, A5 desktop speakers from Audio Engine, and TeachMac from TeachMac.com. Cirque du Mac party Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at the Red Devil Lounge. If you need tickets, well, you can call me. I can't guarantee. Email. We'll see. Windows on a Mac session Wednesday the 10th at 1:30 p.m. Thanks for another great year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Made up.